We've got two passages of scripture we're going to go to this morning, Luke chapter 17 and Psalm 136. So if you would first go to Luke 17, please. Luke 17, and then we'll go to Psalm 136. I want to share with you a Thanksgiving challenge, and here in the Gospel of Luke, we'll eventually get here to this chapter, but I wanted to take some time this morning to look at this story that teaches us what it means to be thankful, particularly thankful to the Lord. Look at verse 11 of Luke 17. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. What a miracle. Amen? So as they obeyed, as they walked, the moment they took that step of obedience and moved in the direction that Jesus had told them to go, the scripture says they were cleansed. What a miracle this was. Verse 15. Then one of them, now notice one of them, how many were there? 10. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. And then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Imagine the joy and the excitement among these 10 lepers when they were healed this day. Immediately their minds would have been like our minds in that moment, and they would have been flooded with the images of all the things that you could now do that you had been prohibited from doing as a leper. In ancient cultures such as this one, these lepers were prohibited from being with their family members. In fact, they would often be relegated to live within these areas known as leper colonies, outside of the cities, away from their family. So this healing meant, I mean, major life change. Wouldn't you agree? This is huge. They were now able to enter back into regular society. There was a spiritual component for them as well, particularly those who would have been Jewish, and that was that they would now be able to go back to the temple and they could worship the Lord. They could go back to work, their place of employment. I mean, everything for them turned in a moment from despair and lostness, discouragement, despondency, to hope and joy, and once again, a future to be excited about. And I think of the things that they would have immediately wanted to do. Go to family, go back to an employer, go to the temple to worship, to go to a party that would be thrown for them. All of these things, wouldn't you agree with me? They would be good. Nothing wrong with any of them, true? And yet one of them stops, one, and thinks to himself, "You know, I need to go back and say thank you. I need to be grateful." And the Lord notes this person. And it's important that we recognize none of the things that they would have gone to do would have been wrong or immoral. In fact, we would say that those things would be commendable, laudable, even recommended. Yes, go to your family, right? Go find your husband, find your wife, find your children. Let them celebrate with you. But the 9 failed to put first things first. And I'm suggesting to you that the first thing that should have been on their mind were thoughts of gratitude towards the one who's healed him, healed them, right? And so here's my challenge to you. I've got two main ideas that I want to share with you. Here's the first one. Very simply this, I want to encourage you, let's all together determine, number one, to be the one who is grateful. Amen? Can I get an amen on that? Let's, you and I together, determine to be the one who is grateful. Even though the other nine may go on to their lives and do all the things that are good and commendable, laudable, but let's, before we go do those things, let's stop and be the one who's grateful to the Lord. Let's be a people of gratitude. I think of Psalm 50, verse 23. Here, I'll put it on the screen for you. It says, the one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. That's a good word, isn't it? We bring glory to the Lord when we are a grateful people that are willing to give thanksgiving to the Lord. Colossians 3. Verses 15 and 17, the Apostle Paul wrote, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And then notice it says in what? And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And then notice, how are we to do that with what in our hearts? Yeah. With thankfulness in our hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You and I together, let's determine to be the one who's grateful. Amen? Amen. Listen, gratitude is really a mark of salvation. There are a lot of things that you and I can focus on in our lives for which we might not be grateful from an external point of view, but gratitude is the mark of the indwelling Holy Spirit of God in the believer. The Holy Spirit helps us to look at the circumstances of our life and the difficulties and the situations and not look at them through human eyes, temporal eyes, but look at them through eternal perspectives, through God's perspective in our life. And when we do that, we can be grateful. Because we realize that God is what? He is working all these things together, according to Romans, right? All these things are being worked together for our good and for his ultimate glory. Let's go to Psalm 136 together. So go back there now. We'll leave Luke and go back to the book of Psalms, 136. So many of the psalms that we could turn to this morning that would help us in giving praise to the Lord, but I wanted to take some time here and look at this one. For the sake of time, we won't read all of it, but I do want us to read together all the way down to verse 16. And what I'm going to ask you to do is to help me as we read this, because you'll notice there is a refrain that is repeated after every statement about the goodness and the greatness of God. We are told that his steadfast love endures forever. Amen? And so I'm going to read the first part of the verse, and I'm going to ask you to join with me as we will in each of these verses all the way down to verse 16, beginning in verse 1, but I'm going to ask you to out loud read with me the second part of the verse, beginning in verse 1. So I'll say, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and then all of us together will say, for his steadfast love endures forever. Amen. Let's keep going. Verse 2. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him alone does great wonders, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who by understanding made the heavens, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who spread out the earth above the waters, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who made the great lights, for his steadfast love endures forever. The sun to rule over the day, for his steadfast love endures forever. The moon and stars to rule over the night, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, for his steadfast love endures forever, and brought Israel out from among them, for his steadfast love endures forever. With a strong hand and an outstretched arm, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea in two, for his steadfast love endures forever, and made Israel pass through the midst of it. For his steadfast love endures forever, but overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who led his people through the wilderness, for his steadfast love endures forever. I love that, don't you? Amen. Thank you. Here's the second thing I want to say to you this morning. I want to encourage you to praise him and be grateful to him, for he is good and he is great. He is good and he is great. In fact, go back to verse 1 with me for just a moment, and we're actually going to just focus now together on these three verses, 1, 2, and 3, for just a few minutes. But in verse 1, it says, give thanks to the Lord, and then it tells us, for he is good. Come on, help me. He is what?
Good.
He's good. He's good. God is good. Essentially, we could say it like this. God is goodness itself. When it says he is good, he's the very definition of goodness. All that God does is good. And I want to say this to you. I praise him for his goodness. I praise him that I have seen it. I've seen it proved in my life over and over again. I have tasted of the goodness of God. Have you? Have you? If not, I want you to know God is good. He's good in so many ways, but especially this morning, those of us who know Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we can point to the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, his sacrificial death upon the cross for us in our place, taking my sin upon himself so that I don't have to suffer and die for my own sin. It is the ultimate display of God's goodness to mankind, friend. You need to see that. He's good. He loves you. He cares for you. He alone is good in the very highest sense of the word good. Goodness itself, we could say it like this, it is actually sourced in the person of God. When we think about those things in this world that are good, we have to start with God. God is good. He is good in all that he does. He is the sustainer of that which is good. He's the perfecter of all that is good. And we are even told in the Word of God that he is the rewarder of those who do good. So because of his goodness, he deserves the constant gratitude of his people. Let God be praised because he is exceedingly good. Amen? He is good. I want you to notice, though, that there are actually three different Hebrew names of God within the three verses that we're looking at right now. The first one, and again, look at your English translation. You will notice there, give thanks to the Lord. Notice it's all capitals there, right? L-O-R-D. But if you go down to verse 2, it says give thanks to what? God. And then verse 3, you see the word Lord used again, but notice this time it's a capital L with a small O, R, and D. There's a reason for that. Because you know in the Hebrew, there are many different names for God, right? And that's what we have reflected here by the psalmist. So the first name that is actually referred to in verse 1, where you've got the capital L-O-R-D, is is what we would kind of consider the primary name for God, known as Yahweh. Yahweh, let me put that, here it is, Yahweh. And in the Hebrew, the ancient writers actually wouldn't even have had any vowels in there. It would have just been YHWH. This is really the biblical name here, Yahweh, is the idea of, and we get this in the Old Testament as well, where God says, I am that I am. It has the eternal nature of God in mind. In fact, the English language doesn't really have an exact translation for this particular word from the Hebrew, and that's why in the Old Testament we often see it written this way in the English with the capital L, the capital O, R, and D. In Jewish tradition, as I was studying this again, reminding myself of these things this week, I was reminded that Yahweh is too sacred a name to utter out loud. The ancient people wouldn't even speak it. And so often in ancient literature, the Jewish people would substitute another name, Adonai, or my Lord, especially when speaking, because the name was so sacred they didn't want to say it. And then, of course, another common replacement is the word Elohim, which it just simply means God, but these two replacement names are both used for other things as well, not just God, but Yahweh, this name is reserved exclusively for God. But we actually find those other two names mentioned. So that's where we come to verse 2. So we see Yahweh in verse 1, and then in verse 2, give thanks to the God of gods. Well, that's the word Elohim. Elohim. It's a Hebrew word that denotes God. It's one of the most common names for God in the Old Testament. In fact, it's the name of God that is used in the opening of the book of Genesis. In Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. We find that name actually occurs over 2,500 times in the Old Testament literature. And it contains the idea of God's strength or his power. It's reminding us that God is infinite and all-powerful, and he shows us his works over and over again through his creative acts, through his continual sustaining of the universe, and it is a reminder to us that he is the supreme judge of the universe, and we will all stand before him someday. Psalm 7:9. The psalmist wrote, bring to an end the violence of the wicked and make the righteous secure. You, the righteous, or the Elohim, who probes minds and hearts. So those are the two names there, Yahweh, Elohim. And then look at verse 3, give thanks. Now here it is, the word Lord is used with the capital L, but then the smaller O, R, and D, and that's the word Adonai. Adonai. Give thanks to the Adonai, because his mercy endures forever, and it's simply the word for Lord. And it's defined in the English, Lord is defined as someone or something having power, authority, and influence, or a master, a ruler. That's an appropriate name for God, isn't it? The master, the ruler. Not only does he possess authority, but he actually possesses all of it. All authority. These are reasons that we have this morning among these things that we've read, but just for God himself, we ought to be thankful. And these names of God that we've just looked at together this morning remind us of both his goodness and his greatness, and we should give praise to him for these reasons. I'm thankful to the Lord this morning. Are you? I'm thankful for his salvation. I'm thankful for the forgiveness of sins that have been offered to me through his Son, Jesus Christ. And I want to ask you this morning, have you trusted Christ? Have you come to that point in your life where you realized your own sinful condition before the Lord, but then you've seen the greatness of God and the goodness of God, particularly expressed through what Christ did for us on the cross, and you humbled yourself and you repented of your sin and came to believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If not, friend, I want to urge you to do that today. Do that. He's already paid the price for your sin, hasn't he, church? It's been paid in full. It's by grace that you can be saved through faith. It's not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. It's all of God's grace. Forgiveness is offered to you. I encourage you today to see God's goodness, see God's greatness, and trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today if you've not done so. These are good reasons for us to be thankful. Would you bow with me in prayer? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, just before I pray in the quietness here of this auditorium, I want to ask you, friend, have you trusted Christ? Maybe you say this morning, Pastor Dan, I've not done that, but I realize I need to give my life to Christ today. I need to be saved. I recognize my sinfulness, and right now, I am ready to turn from that and to trust Christ. If that's you, would you, from your heart to his heart right now, just pray to him, just say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Lord, I realize that I am a sinner, and I don't deserve to be forgiven, but I see your grace displayed through your life, your death, your burial, and your resurrection. And right now, I'm putting my complete trust in what you did for me on the cross, that my sins might be forgiven and that I might be given the gift of eternal life. I believe. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for opening my eyes to this truth today. Thank you for bringing me into your family and making me your child. Now help me from this moment forward to live for you. Lord, you've heard the prayers that have come from the hearts of people here today. Lord, if there's one, two, or others, I pray that you would confirm in their hearts the faith that you have granted to them this day, and might they live for you from this moment forward for the rest of their lives. And for the rest of us who know you and we've received the gift of salvation prior to this moment in our lives, help us to go from here as a grateful people, realizing how good and how great you are. And I pray this in Jesus' precious name. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.